Here's what the Democrats are going to say when we bomb Iran, by the way. From Governor Shapiro. You will find no sympathy for me when it comes to the Iranians, but what I want to see from our commander-in-chief is clear purpose, clear intentions, clear directives. I think he owes the American people that answer before engaging in military action. That's our Democrats, you know? Shapiro is a hyper-Zionist. You all know that. But, like, when was the last time you saw the broader Democratic Party challenge his arguments? This is on This Week? Let me see if I can find this.
I want to touch on foreign policy. I know you're governor, but it's important to everybody in the country. You've seen this massive buildup in the Middle East, mm-hmm. The president threatening to strike Iran. Would you support that?
I'd want to know what the president's goals are. I'd want to know what his objectives are. About the only thing we know now, thanks to reporting from you and others, is that there's been this massive buildup of military assets in the region. Look, we know the Iranians.
Shapiro will be president because he aligns with power. Thank God he's not that popular. Thankfully, the average Democrat is not pro-Israel, so it's difficult for him to win election, but they would have him win election if they could, for sure. Shapiro is one of the most loyal, like, dogs of the administration in this respect. Really, really aggressive anti-BDS stuff, making it illegal for you to exercise your First Amendment right to boycott Israel. You know, a bunch of really nasty stuff said after October 7th. Wretched, wretched guy. No criticism, by the way, from the Dems for any of this, because he's untouchable. Like, pro-Zionist sentiment is utterly untouchable on every level. No Democrat comes out against Schumer for saying his objective, his job as a Senate minority leader, is to promote Israel.
These are the bad guys. These are the people who are the largest exporter of terrorism around the globe. You will find no sympathy from me when it comes to the Iranians, but what I want to see from our commander-in-chief is clear purpose.
Nobody cared when Trump called Schumer a Palestinian as an insult. Yeah, because they were like, damn, good zinger. Being a Palestinian is really bad.
Clear intentions, clear directives, and I think he owes the American people that answer before engaging in military action.
But once he's got that, you know, once they have that, then it's fine.
Now, Iranian officials are dismissing reports or suggestions that Iran would be prepared to hand over its oil fields or mines to the U.S. as part of any negotiations or deal. The officials speaking to Al Jazeera said it's a mistake to assume talks with Washington will be 100% successful.
Yeah.
They also say Iran is ready for any confrontation, and Iran's readiness eliminates chances of what they called enemy deception. Officials also said removing Iran's highly enriched uranium stockpile was not discussed with Washington. Iran and the U.S. resumed nuclear negotiations earlier this month in Muscat, followed by another round of talks in Geneva on Tuesday under Omani mediation. Well, earlier, Iran's president said Tehran will not give in to pressure from the U.S. over nuclear.
This is mostly old news. Maybe old news is the wrong term. Stuff we already know? Fox News continues to gloat. There is nothing of Iran's we can't destroy, says Jim Hansen. What the f***, man? Muppets and then this? How far you've fallen?
So many experts now believe that the strikes against Iran are, quote, likely. This, as satellite images show construction activity at the uranium enrichment plants that were targeted last year in other words, Iran is apparently trying to rebuild its nuclear program.
Not even as a joke. He's got kind of the hair a little bit, don't you think? Hence, like, kind of the flowy, like, round hair that Jim had. I don't know.
Which is a firm red line for President Trump. Here now with reaction, chief strategist at the Middle East Forum, Jim Hansen, along with Vice President
of
National
Jim
Security
Hansen. Never mind.
And Foreign Policy
Never mind. I don't
at the
see
Heritage
it
Foundation. Victoria Coates. I want to start with you, Victoria. So has a red line been crossed by Iran?
Well, Charlie, good to be with you and Jim, and remind me never to follow Senator Kennedy ever again.
I was talking to one of my friends who is pro-Iran war. He wants the Shah to take back control and kick the Ayatollah out. I really don't think people, even if you don't see a problem with the West just replacing the leader of a country of 100 million and continuing the extremely long-running and substantiated history of us meddling in Middle Eastern affairs and ensuring continuing domestic instability. Like, by the way, guys, just so you know, ISIS, Hezbollah, everything happening in Yemen, all of that is us. I hope everyone, like, literally everything, Saudi Arabia, UAE, Qatar. These countries are propped up by American like oil export, like they are basically envoys of our economy. They're like the idea, they don't represent any kind of national autonomy, you know. That's why they say Saudi Arabia is an oil company with a country attached. Iran only is what it is because we installed the Shah. Lebanon only is what it is because of Israel. A ton of shit happened. Like ISIS is because we invaded Iraq. A ton of the instability in the Middle East is because we allow Israel to exist there. Like we just created all of this. Even if we replaced the Ayatollah with the Crown Prince, it would not stop the fighting. Israel will always want to fight. They only want, it's just death. They just want death. There's no point where Israel will ever be like, oh no, I'm fine with our territory now. You know, we're playing like concessionist politics with the Nazis here. Like, oh, one more Lebensraum. There's no end to this.
Luckily, we're not expecting any jokes from you. So,
well, in any event, yes, I think you know President Trump has said repeatedly since the strikes last June that if the Iranians are stupid enough to try to rebuild their nuclear facilities, he's going to go back in and do what we did before. And what he has assembled in the Middle East is just extraordinary in terms of both the aircraft carrier groups, all of the fighter jets, as you detailed. The Iranians, as we know from the 12-day war, are defenseless against this. They're defenseless against the Israelis, let alone what the president has poured in. So he's giving them one last chance. This is the epitome of peace through strength. He's saying he wants diplomacy. He wants peace. But if they won't do it the easy way, we'll do it the hard way, and there's nothing they can do about it.
Jim, what would the hard way look like?
Just magically forget who ended the Iranian nuclear deal. Hey, by the way, you know who hated the original Iranian nuclear deal from Obama? Israel. They hated it. Why? Because they want war with Iran. Even back then, they just wanted war with Iran. They know that they lose the ability to manipulate America into joining them into the war with Iran if we know that they're peacefully cooperating with us. And Chuck Schumer hated it too, by the way. Yes, because Chuck Schumer is a loyal envoy of this set of interests, and Chuck Schumer wants war with Iran. He's always been clear on that. Yeah, they're really, 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 really clear on what they want, you know?
What would you envision is on the table right now for if there were a strike on Iran?
Well, the advantage we have is there is nothing of theirs that we can't destroy. You know, the thing that was made abundantly clear when the Israelis were bombing prior to Midnight Hammer was they can fly a missile through a window and kill you in your bed.
So cool.
So
wow.
All of their stuff is on the table. I think,
wow.
You know, taking out their IRGC facilities, the ballistic missiles, all of that is great. Karg Island, their oil terminal, would really destroy their economy. That would be a major thing to put on the table. And basically anything they do, President Trump can hit them with. And I think now, you know, we're in the position where he can do that at will. He gave them 10 days, but I think we all know that President Trump gives those deadlines to throw people off balance. If we heard explosions right now and our phones started blowing up because things were blowing up over there, right, Wouldn't surprise me a bit.
Real quick, Jim, do you believe that Iran is rebuilding their nuclear capacity?
Dave Osham in the Navy currently, and a lot of people around here are fed up with this crap. I'm happy to hear that, but like at the end of the day, you're part of a carrier group floating like in the Middle East, or you're not, right? I mean, it's listen, I'm happy the military, and there is a lot of negative sentiment there. There's a lot of people there who are, you know, not gung-ho about what the admin's doing. I think that's great. I think that's good. But there's got to be a point, right? I mean, there has to be a point. Because that would be mostly something you'd negotiate with leadership, not really something you could do individually as a young fella.
Their revolution, that's their thing. 12er Shia believes they need an Armageddon-like event to bring back the Mahdi and rule the world. What's more Armageddon?
Wait, what? Were we talking about evangelicals? What?
Believe that Iran is rebuilding their nuclear capacity?
It's their revolution. That's their thing. 12er Shia believes they need an Armageddon-like event to bring back the Mahdi and rule the world.
Projection.
It's more Armageddon-like than a nuclear bomb. Of course they are.
Total projection. This guy 100% knows what we want and what we're planning. So he's like, yeah, man, Iran is the one that's trying to end the world right now. Yeah, super. As we transfer like $8 trillion of military equipment to bomb Iran for some reason, because I guess they're 1 week from getting nukes or whatever. Like, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. For sure, 100%. Super duper true, mega true even. We love you, Newts.
We turn now to the escalating tensions between the U.S. and Iran. The U.S. has assembled what is, by some measures, the biggest military buildup in the region since the 2003 invasion of Iraq, as the world's largest warship also heads towards the region. But President Trump has said he'd prefer a diplomatic deal with Iran.
God bless you,
Trump. For the latest,
Trump.
We go now to Tehran.
The only man stupid enough to not fall into the river, you know? Oh, man.
And Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi. Welcome to Face the Nation.
Well, thank you, Margaret. Thank you so much for having me this evening.
So do you believe President Trump plans to strike Iran, or is he using this threat as leverage?
Well, I'm not... I cannot judge, but one fact is there, that if they want to find a resolution for Iran's peaceful nuclear program, the only way is diplomacy. And we have proved this in the past, and I believe that still there is a good chance to have a diplomatic solution, which is based on a win-win game, and a solution is at our reach. So there is no need for any military buildup, and military buildup cannot help it and cannot pressurize us.
Well, you said on Friday that you would have a draft proposal within 2 to 3 days. Have you gotten the Supreme Leader to sign off on that proposal yet? And
isn't it interesting how you can just freely talk to representatives of the Iranian government and it doesn't happen? Like, American politicians don't do it because they refuse to ever hear the other side. I don't even mean like, oh, you're going to be convinced by some rep from the IRGC. I just mean like there are regular ass Iranian government officials that you could just talk to. They have day jobs, you know? They're bureaucrats. You could talk to them and just hear, like, even if you want to argue with them or disagree with them or something, you can just like have them out. Not allowed here. Just flat, like no wall of sympathy or humanization or anything like that. You can only regard them as like an impossibly foreign, evil country with no human representation. To be fair, there is a massive disconnect between them and actual decisions re-governance. For sure. I'm not saying that Like, at the end of the day, it is an authoritarian theocracy. But it would be nice to hear an argument from an Iranian representative for something like, I don't know, here's why we should be allowed to refine our own nuclear material, you know?
So when will you give it to envoy Steve Witkoff?
Well, we are still working on that. And we are trying to make it something which consists of elements which can accommodate both sides' concerns and interests. And we are working on those elements. And I believe that when we meet, probably this
Thursday point of manufacturing
in Geneva again,
anymore.
We can work on those elements and prepare a good text and come to a fast deal. This is my understanding. I see it quite possible.
So you have confirmed a meeting with Steve Witkoff Thursday in Geneva, but your leadership has still not signed off on the proposal. Is that right?
But these are two separate things. Of course, we continue our negotiation. At the same time, we are working on on the elements of a deal and a draft of the text. So I hope that when we get there, we are prepared to talk and negotiate on those drafts.
Well, let me ask you this. You helped negotiate that 2015 nuclear deal under the Obama administration. How would this deal with Trump be different than that one?
Well,
it will never happen. Israel didn't like the old deal, and they won't like any new one. All of the negotiations are just a pretext for violence. That's how we bombed them last time, remember? Remember? We had a set of talks to negotiate a new deal, and then we interrupted the last round of talks to bomb them. The only purpose of the talks was to drag it out. There will never be a deal. There's no purpose to a deal. And you could put the Shah or whatever in charge of Iran. It wouldn't change the fact that we are doing this in large part at the behest of Israel, and Israel wants Israeli Jews dead. It's an ethno-supremacist ideology. They're not just—they don't want more land because they ran out of real estate space. It's a murderous ideology. You can change the leadership of Iran. Iran will still be full of Iranians. It's still going to be a problem for them.
10 years have.
Did we not learn this from the Nazi? It's just insane how much like of a clear evident overlap there is in motivations here that we fail to recognize because we're on the enemy team this time. But we still, like, the leadership in America still pretends they would have been opposed to the Nazis before. So it's like being the Italian government and standing against everything the Nazis represent, but then pretending they don't represent those things. It makes no sense.
And there is a new situation. Our nuclear program has advanced technologically, more advanced at that time. And there are, of course, more sanctions and more pressures. So I believe that a better deal than JCPOA or 2015 nuclear deal is possible. There are elements that could be much better than the previous deal.
Like what?
I have the experience of that.
I can't overstate how often my brain thinks about that one lady on stage saying we've been teaching the Holocaust too good for too many years. Yeah, what's mind-boggling is the environments ladies like that have to be in to feel like they can say that in public. Like the conversations they're having behind the scenes for them to walk in front of the curtain and then say that, the shit going on behind the curtain must be like genuinely apocalyptic. I can't even imagine where you have to be. Like, there are actual neo-Nazis with better optical sense than that. You know, Fishburne, that Nazi Nick Fuentes acolyte running for governor in Florida, Nick Fuentes himself, like, it's difficult to think of any any Nazi with any kind of public persona that doesn't have a better sense of their own optics than that. They would like calmly, you know, at least these people dog whistle. That lady wasn't even dog whistling.
As you said, I negotiated that deal. We went into so many details, but I think right now there is no need for that much details. We can agree on basic things, and we can make sure that Iran's program, nuclear program, is peaceful and would remain peaceful forever, and at the same time, more sanctions would be lifted.
Well, legitimate question, how bad of a situation would America and Israel be in if Iran came out on top in this and sunk the carrier group somehow? Lol. We would be in a good situation because we would finally have concrete physical proof of the existence of a benevolent deity. Whatever material, human, or economic costs we would incur would be pithy in comparison to the knowledge that there is a moral order to the universe and that we do have the potential to reach heaven when we die.
Very quickly, you're talking about nuclear. You are offering a nuclear-only deal at this stage because Secretary Rubio said anything meaningful would also have to involve ballistic missiles and your support for proxies in the region.
Well, right now we are negotiating only nuclear, and there is no other subject.
Okay. Would you be willing to allow weapons inspectors unfettered access to your nuclear sites and for American inspectors to be among them?
Well, we are a committed member of NPT, Non-Proliferation Treaty, and we have a safeguard agreement with the agency, International Atomic Energy Agency, and we are ready to cooperate with the agency in full according to the safeguard, and we may accept with certain conditions the additional protocol to the safeguard. To the NPT, and I think a full verification mechanism, full monitoring mechanism is acceptable and can be in place.
Okay, so you continue to say that your nuclear program is peaceful, and you know there are...
I just don't think a lot of Americans want to, like, the American media class doesn't want the average American to understand that Iran is a country of near 100 million, more than 100, wait, I always forget. What is it, like 98 million? How many? Iran? 93 million. Okay. Yeah, it's huge, huge country. Like a lot of the American media class doesn't want Americans to think of Iran as like a massive country that is developed and sprawling and that has just like regular ass government dudes like this. You know, they want to think of it as like ISIS, basically. The American mind of what Islamic governance looks like is like, it's just ISIS. You know, it's just a bunch of crazy ISIS people. They've all got turbans. They've all got the swords with like the little cloth at the edge of the hilt, you know. I really think it's like that barest level of humanization that we're trying to avoid.
Acceptable and can be in place.
Okay, so you continue to say that your nuclear program is peaceful, and you know there are a lot of skeptics around the world, including in the United States Congress. There's pressure on President Trump from within his own party. There were 52 Republican senators, 177 House Republicans, who have called on President Trump to demand zero enrichment and full dismantlement of your nuclear program. Why should President Trump consider allowing Iran to have even the smallest bit of enrichment?
Well, first of all, enrichment is our right. We are a member of NPT, and we have every right to enjoy a peaceful nuclear energy, including enrichment. How we use this right is something, related to us only. The enrichment is a sensitive part of our negotiation. The American team know about, they know our position, we know their position, and we have already exchanged our concerns. And I think a solution is achievable, but I'm not going to negotiate through media.
No, I understand, but we have seen very public statements from the president that he said no enrichment, and that's a red
line. I like how she's presenting the opinions of the Republican Party as though that's an argument. Hey, did you know Republicans don't think you should be able to enrich uranium? Okay. Well, we can because we're a sovereign nation. Next question. Like, what? Like, who? Okay. Thank you for your opinion, for their opinion on the matter. I appreciate it.
But when you say it's your right, okay. But you could get enriched uranium.
Is this the same guy that blamed this war on the Epstein class? This guy? He doesn't seem like the kind of guy who would say this conflict is because of the Epstein class. That seems like kind of an edgy internet thing to say. He looks like a bureaucrat.
And buy it from someplace else. You know this. You've done this. Is demanding the right to enrich on Iranian soil really worth the risk right now?
Are you sure exercising your national sovereignty is really worth the risk of a foreign country destroying you for no reason? Listen, okay, it's a nice country you've got there.
You're facing the potential destruction of your country and the regime based on the kind of military buildup we're looking at.
But just a force of nature, by the way, like all that military buildup the United States is doing, just a force of nature, like you're the one facing it. This is your conscious choice that you're making here, you know? Is this lady right wing? Every American is right wing when it comes to Iran. There is no pushback on this. She could be a Democrat. She would still talk like this.
Well, I think as a sovereign country, we have every right to decide by ourselves. We have developed this technology by ourselves, by our scientists, and it's very dear to us because we have paid a huge expense for that. We have been under sanctions for at least 20 years,
yeah.
And we have lost our scientists, and we have had a war because of that. So that is now a matter of dignity and pride for Iranians, and we are not going to give it up.
One second. Apropos of nothing, or maybe something, I saw a clip on Twitter. I just want to look at it super quick.
I said, Mike, that we are fighting today the battle that the Maccabees fought. They fought for the survival of the Jewish people and the Jewish faith against an enemy that wanted to extinguish us, wipe us out from the face of the earth. We were fighting our battle, but we were also fighting the battle of civilization. Because our civilization is based on the Judeo-Christian tradition. And if the Maccabees had failed, there'd be no Judaism, there would be no Judeo-Christian civilization. There would be no Huckabees. There would be no United States, there wouldn't be the civilization of freedom, the respect for our common traditions, our common values. All of that would not happen if it weren't for those five brave brothers. They actually made the whole difference. So that spirit animates these brave soldiers that are here today and their comrades who are fighting in Gaza or in Lebanon or in Iran, wherever is necessary to not...
What the f*** are you talking about? Like other insane ethno-nationalist supremacist groups, the Israelis have crafted a version of history in which they are the main characters of all existence. I mean, they're literally the chosen people, right? So what was the original narrative, which is that they're chosen to follow a certain set of God's rules. They, you know, you wander the desert, you flee the you flee the Pharaoh. You are like forever an outsider in the communities that you're in, but then you find community and blah 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 blah, whatever you prefer, you know. However you frame that story, the narrative now is that they are the like actual epicenter and main characters of all civilization, which by the way is a narrative that Christian evangelicals reaffirmed. The Judeo-Christian terminology only really started getting used in the 1960s. Keep in mind that it wasn't until the, 50s that Catholics decided Jews weren't to blame for the murder of Jesus Christ? Like, up until that point, the official line from the Catholic Church was that that was their fault. So the idea of some kind of massive historical synchronicity between Christians and Jews is obviously ludicrous. I don't know if you remember what Christians did to Jews in Europe. I mean, not that the Nazis were exactly good Christians, but, you know, there were a lot of Italians in on it. You get the point. The idea that these two groups are like one and one, but it doesn't matter, right? Nazis did the same thing. Nazis had a whole bunch of insane esoteric theories about how they were also the main characters of history. Science shows that humanity came from from the Levant, from like Africa or whatever. No, the fuck it didn't. We're actually the descendants of a race of like Scandinavian supergiants or whatever. I mean, it's crazy shit, but like this is, they're crazy people, you know? What are you going to get, right?
Not only preserve the Jewish nation and the Jewish state, but preserve civilization against the barbarians. The barbarians are out there. They did a horrible thing to us on October 7th. They'll never do it again. But they're doing it against Jews in Sydney and Jews elsewhere in America and elsewhere. This is our common battle against the barbarians. We have won it here. We're winning it here. We'll win it everywhere.
Using Roman terminology? Oh, you know, the Romans, famously friends of the Jews. What have they ever done to them? Yeah, barbarians. Known Jewish terminology. Distinction.
Chag Chanukah Sameach lekulchem. Toda rabah lechem. Toda rabah.
Phenomenal stuff, yeah. Anyway, like, did he just imply a threat to the USA? Yeah.
This is our common battle against the barbarians. We have won it here. We're winning it here. We'll win it everywhere. Chag Sameach.
He just referred to Sydney, you know? He's talking about a global war here. Again, Lebensraum, Thousand-Year Reich, you know, Samson Doctrine shit. Again, like, when I say, like, there can never be peace with these people for the same reason you could never, ever, ever have peace with the Nazi Party. It's not an innate judgment of the Germanic character or whatever, you know, those people. The Germans should be wearing lederhosen and eating sausage and drinking beer out of shoe glasses. I don't really care. Like, it's not about the people fundamentally. It's that we've essentially groomed this ideology into Israel. We have deliberately over decades enabled the worst tendencies of this government, facilitated every one of their excessive demands for security and military backup, UN protection, and as a member of the so why am I blanking? Security such and such. What the security? I'm blanking on the term in the United Nations. You know, the elite countries that Security Council. Thank you. Yes, we've done so much for them because we have a shared set of interests, and as a consequence, we have not in any way encouraged moderation. You talk about this as though Israel was a normal or legitimate country that was corrupted, but they were founded as a settler colonial state. Well, I don't believe in any country being legitimate. Anarchist credentials, but no, like, I mean, yeah. It is worth noting, though, that like many of the people who made up the original stock, I guess, of Israel were people just fleeing the country that they had previously been getting persecuted in. The Hitlerite tendency of Israel was definitely present from the beginning, like many of the Zionist gangs that the British gave weapons to. They were far right, you know, but this unifying sentiment of like Israel as a legitimate ethno-nationalist nation that has global ambitions, that one wasn't really like rooted in from the start. Though obviously it always had its origins. Things could have been different. Things could have been different. I don't think anyone's saying that, Uves. What's your take that before Zionists came to Palestine, Christians, Jews, and Muslims got along pretty well? Like relative to today, sure, but it wasn't necessarily Israel. Like Western meddling in the Middle East, usually for like oil purposes, it galvanized regional Muslims in a way that still would have been an issue even without Israel. All of it can be viewed as an extension of Western imperialism, right? There were Jewish and Muslim and Christian people in what like Palestine that got along reasonably well, you know, before everything happened. But that was Israel's formation and defense by the West was just one part of a larger set of antagonisms that we've inflicted upon them. Very complicated stuff. Not morally complicated. Morally, it's all very simple.
No legal reason to do that. While everything is peaceful, while everything is safeguarded by the agency, while we had an agreement in the past when we remained fully committed to that, and it was the U.S. who just withdrew with no justification.
Yeah.
So we are a committed member of NPT. We want to use our right. We want to have.
Funny you should say that, because Israel targets Palestinian Christians too. Yeah, of course, they're anti-Christian. The ideological wing of Israelis are Jewish supremacists. They're of course anti-Christian as well. They've bombed Christian communities, settlements, destroyed literally like priceless thousands-year-old artifacts of Christendom. They're ethno-nationalists. What do you expect? Yeah, of course. They love that shit.
Right, and to exercise that.
But you understand, this could be make it or break it for you here. I mean, look, your air defenses were largely demolished by Israel this past summer. They dominate your military. They killed the leader of your most powerful proxy.
Maybe they should stop doing that stuff.
Hezbollah. The United States bombed your underground nuclear facilities. Your economy is in shambles right now. So why do you think the regime could even survive unless you give this up?
Well, that is not the case when you talked about the air defense and...
Just another thug of the regime insulting and extorting him. We've already beaten the shit out of you. Give us your pocket money or we're going to kill you. Why are you not giving us your pocket money?
And the war we had with Israel.
You have no chance,
no
hope.
Yes, we had problem with our air defense, but Israelis had also problem with their air defense. And our missiles were able to hit targets inside Israel. So they started the war, but after 12 days, they asked for a ceasefire, unconditional ceasefire. Why? Because they couldn't defend themselves against our missiles. So we have a very good capability of missiles, and now we are even in a better situation than previous war. So as a matter of fact, we are in a powerful position to defend ourselves. We know how to defend ourselves. We did it in 12-day war, and we are fully prepared to repeat that if necessary.
Well, respectfully, Israel has air superiority over Iran, but let's talk about what you are saying in terms
missiles,
of your...
Our missiles have also superiority over the space of Israel. They can hit their targets. They hit their targets in a very exact way, and they can do it again.
Okay. Well, there are 40,000 American personnel in the Middle East right now. In Iran's letter to
every single one of her responses is just, we'll kill you. Hey, to be clear, we don't care about international law. We don't care about your lives. We don't care about your sovereignty. We'll just kill you. So why aren't you...
Security Council, you seem to threaten them because you said America will bear full responsibility. You said you don't want war. But if that's what happens, all bases, facilities, and assets of the hostile force in the region will be legitimate targets. Are you saying Iran will hit U.S. bases in the Gulf, or will you also bomb the Gulf countries that are your neighbors?
Well, I'm not going to say what we are going to
yeah,
do.
Yeah, stop threatening your neighbors, you piece of shit. Why can't you be civil?
Exactly. Obviously, we defend ourselves. If the U.S. attacks us, then we have every right to defend ourselves. If the U.S. attacks us, that is the act of aggression. What we do in response is the act of self-defense. So, and it is justifiable and legitimate. So our missiles cannot hit the American soil. So obviously, we have to do something else. We have to hit, the American base in the region. That is a fact. I am a diplomat. I'm not supposed to talk about,
Now, this lady has an interesting history, Margaret Brennan. Okay, try to wrap your head around the politics of this one, okay? So she did a Face the Nation interview of Marco Rubio early 2025 after J.D. Vance's speech at the Munich Security Conference, the one where he was saying, like, you European countries need to be more like America. You need to let more neo-Nazis on your Twitter, that kind of stuff. Okay, so Brennan claimed in response to this, while criticizing J.D. Vance, he was standing in a country where free speech was weaponized to conduct a genocide. So her criticism of J.D. Vance's sentiment that they should allow for more far-right people to be prominent in media and social media was that free speech actually wasn't good because the Nazis used it to do the Holocaust. How do you square that circle? I have no idea, but the only thing that I can take from it is that she's subservient to Israel and also anti-free speech. I have no idea. Like, that's an insane, like, the implications of that, that's where your mind would go to. The line in her head is like, well, if you allow for free speech, you allow for the Nazis? I don't know. Phenomenal stuff, really. Just out there. I don't know.
Yeah. The military plans. But what can I say is...
Is that what she means? Who the f*** knows what she means?
That why we should go for war when there is every possibility for a peaceful solution.
Mr. Foreign Minister, I have more questions for you, but I am out of time here. We are going to watch this diplomacy.
More questions like, have you considered we'll nuke you? Are you aware that we'll kill your children too? Why don't you surrender to us entirely? Yeah. I know. Very good. Very important questions. Yeah. Very, very important. Really good stuff. Well, at least the people in the comments don't like her. Not that it matters. I've spoken to a black German professor in college, and yes, a lot of German scholars believe freedom of speech leads to far-right parties taking over. Yeah, but the definition of freedom of speech that German scholars seem to have is allowing people to criticize Israel. So, yeah, I don't know. Right? Like, Germany is one of the most ardent defenders of the country that, on Earth, that is most like Nazi Germany. I mean, you can split hairs over it if you want. Israel is definitely carrying the flame on that one, okay? Trying to initiate World War III as part of a global... a tale of ethnically supremacist biblical conquest. It's not, at the very least, there's a parallel here. Okay.